everybody. Let's begin this morning by going into prayer together to express our gratitude and our needs to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that we're even here. We thank you that by coming here, we get to turn our minds towards Jesus Christ. And we know that whenever we do that, things get so much better. We understand, we see him, that all our sins have been forgiven. And when we see him risen and seated at your right hand, we also know that you, by the cross of Jesus Christ, you have separated us from sin itself, and that you've placed us in your Son, and that we are to live as those alive from the dead. And all we have to do for all of that is just keep our eyes on your Son, Jesus Christ. So we want to thank you, Father, for the simplicity and wonder of that. And we just ask this morning, too, that the Holy Spirit, who indwells each and every believer, would this morning help us to concentrate, to be there for one another, to sing with our heart, and all the things that we get to do when we gather together, Father. We know that the Holy Spirit enlivened those things, and we're just looking forward to what he's going to do today. And we just want to thank you for all of it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Join us for the song service.
Good morning again, everybody. Thank you, singers, for leading us in song this morning. You're all wondering what I was whispering to Andy and Hannah, aren't you? You probably could hear it. The microphone was still on a little bit. You probably could hear it. I don't know. Well, here's the deal. That song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, you know how we sing, I Will Never Let You Go? You know what the most wonderful thing, though, to think about, even better than that, is that he will never let us go. That's what we, because I got to tell you something. I let go of things all the time. I don't know about you. I don't trust myself for the next minute, but I trust him forever. So that's what I was saying. Let's change that. Let's just change that one thing from Jesus, a lover of my soul. Jesus, you will never let me go. All right, we'll get the grace going on that one a little more. All right. So this morning, I just want to make a few announcements before we get started. Next Sunday, believe it or not, is October. And that means, as you know, we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, bring into remembrance the death of the Lord and all that that accomplished for us. So we'll be doing that next Sunday, October 5th. Also, I want to continue to ask everybody to pray for the persecuted church around the world, but particularly in the Middle East. We're continuing to hear some really terrible things about what's happening to Christians in that part of the world, and they need our prayer and our help. So please don't forget them. It's going to be pretty easy to remember them, I think, now with what's in the headlines every day in this country. So as you see what's going on that the media is reporting, also pray about what the media may not be reporting, which is the persecution of Christians in the Middle East. Also, I want to just remember, let everybody know that we have a guest book that we would like you to sign. And it's so that we have your contact information. By the way, you only have to sign it once. People here every week, and every time I announce them, because some people sign it again and again. And I was like, no, just once. But so please, it's in the foyer, in the room that you come on in there, right before you come in. Also, there is our prayer box. And so please be liberal in your usage of the prayer box. Meaning, if you got something you want us to pray for, just write it down so that we gather together on Wednesday nights. We'll be praying for that. All right. So just a reminder about that. We do have an informal Bible study. It's on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8. Right now, we're looking at practical ways to share the gospel. We're going to be done with that in a week or two. And then we're going to move into the whole question of rightly dividing the word of God, which is, of course, a big, big subject. But to understand that we are meant to divide the word of God, meaning we're meant to understand the purpose of different parts of the word of God. You know, for example, to understand that we, as church-age believers, you know, we go directly to the epistles to understand what God has done in our way of life now, and so we should orient to that. For example, and so we're gonna have a great time for, I think, for maybe a couple of months looking at that question of rightly dividing the word of truth. So again, Thursday evenings at 7. If you can possibly be there, please come to join us for that. We do make audio CDs of every service, and there's no price on those. You're welcome to take one with you. It's in the back, in the bookcase in the back. We have a need. We'd like to get back on radio, but we do need financial support in order to do that. As we currently understand things, it's going to cost us $900 a month for a half hour each Sunday. And we do, by the way, one of our members has offered to pay for 2 months this year. So we're getting started with that. And by the way, we also have the person that's going to agree to edit the audio messages. So we're making a lot of progress. Okay, so now we just need a little more financial help to get that to happen. All right, so please keep that in prayer. I want to thank the donor and the person who has agreed to edit the audio messages this morning. By the way, we don't pass the plate or take offerings. Those of you who've been here for a while probably noticed that. Doesn't mean we don't have any financial needs, all right? So we do pray for the offering and give thanksgiving for it. And we have an offering box in the back. It's meant to be just a matter that when you know you've been blessed by God financially and you have the ability and the Lord has put it on your heart to donate and to give, then you do that. And we want it to be we want that privacy to you to have to understand that that's really between you and the Lord, which is why we don't pass the plate here. But we do are grateful for all the financial support that we get. We have a youth group on Mondays at 6:00, so please keep that in prayer. One of the things that happens is we have all these great young people, and then they go to college, and then we start all over again. But anyway, which is great. We're happy that they're moving on, but we keep them in prayer. Keep all our college kids, all our kids in prayer. They all need prayer big time in this crazy world. Want to welcome guests this morning. We're glad you're here. And we do have people that are on our member care who may approach you. Don't think you're in trouble. All right? It's just something we do to make sure that we reach out to you when you're here. And we also want to let you know that we're glad you're here. If you haven't got one before, we have a little hospitality gift that we give everybody when they're here the first time. So don't leave without one of those blue bags, all right? It's good, some important things in there. Also, if you need a Bible this morning, just raise your hand now and one of our ushers will bring it to you. We do want to make sure that everybody has the Bible in front of us because that's really what we do. We look at what the Bible has to say. It changes lives every time we read in it. So please, if you need a Bible, just raise your hand and we'll get one to you right now. No shame in not having one, so just raise your hand. All right, let's begin. We're in Romans 6, 5 this morning. So if you could turn there at this time, Romans chapter 6, verse 5. This message is titled, Time to Believe God's Facts. Time to Believe God's Facts. It's a very strange thing, but as believers, as people, We have this ability to look at God's facts again and again and again, but not really believe them, not really get to the point where we jump into it and say, this is me now, this is true, and I'm going to, instead of listening to what the world is saying about what life is like or who I am, instead of listening to the naysayers in my life about who I am or what my own body tells me sometimes or my memory tells me, I'm going to change that now and I'm going to go to the Word of God and see the facts about who I am in Christ and I'm going to believe that. And that means to just take God at His Word. You know, and sometimes it's very difficult, I don't know why, but for us human beings to simply take God at His Word. Mostly because we have all these competing voices shouting down what God has to say about us. So realize that that's what's going on. But also realize, and we've been looking at this lately, that the place to be aggressive as a Christian is on what you set your mind on. That's the place to really be aggressive. What you believe to be true based on what God says about you. That's where you can focus. You know, when Paul says he's running the race, that's what he's talking about. When he's talking about fighting, so as with a purpose, that's what he's talking about. I'm sure at times he would have liked to slug a Judaistic Christian, but that's not really what he did. What he fought for was the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that word gospel, and I haven't mentioned this lately, but you know, we're in the book of Romans. Romans has got an incredibly broad sweep about things. I mean, it goes all the way from the fact that every man, woman, and child ever born falls short of the glory of God. It goes into that horrible picture of Romans 1, 2 in the beginning of chapter 3 about human nature, human beings without Christ. And then it moves right away into the fact that none of us could ever keep the law. And so God, what he did was he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. And as a gift, he gives us the gift of righteousness by believing. Simply believing. Just hearing good news and believing it. Which is something a little kid can do. And then it moves into all of the truth about who we are in Christ and the grace of God and how we've been identified with Christ in his death and his resurrection and how we're dead to sin and how we're dead to the law. We are not under the law as believers in Jesus Christ, and that we have the Holy Spirit and that we have nothing but glory to look forward to. You can't lose your salvation. And nothing in this universe can ever get between you and the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then it moves, Romans moves all the way to saying, now let's just take a look at all of the biblical history until now, because you know that until Jesus came, biblical history really was focused primarily on the nation of Israel. And God made a lot of promises to that nation. And so there's a question that says, well, if I'm to believe God's promises about me, I need to know that he's going to keep his promises that he already made. And so Romans 9, 10, and 11 walks in an amazing way through saying that God, this is what happened to the nation of Israel, but God isn't finished with the nation of Israel. And perhaps, you know, in terms of earthly wonder, I'm not sure many things besides the resurrection of Jesus Christ can beat what's going to happen when Israel turns back to the Lord Jesus Christ, which they will, which they will. And then it moves from there and says, in light of all the mercies of God, how are we, believers in Christ, to live now? Can you see how wide that sweep is? And the reason why I wanted to just paint a little picture of that this morning is because all of the book of Romans is the gospel. Let that sink in for a minute. It's the whole book. The gospel is all the good news and the entire everything that I just mentioned and more. That's all the gospel. And what I'm saying is that when we say that we are preaching the gospel, we're saying that all the good news, and I've tried to mention many times, is that we as believers need to be built up in the gospel. Desperately needed. We're going to see something. We're already seeing it in chapter 6 of the book of Romans, and we're going to see more of this. That not only did the death of Christ mean that our sins are forgiven, and that we're completely justified from our sins and from the guilt. The guilt, Paul had no consciousness of guilt. I don't know whether you noticed this in his letters. But he didn't. He didn't. That man was bold and totally confident in approaching the throne of God. And John, when he was face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the book of Revelation, he was there and he knew that he could stand before his Lord. Why? The reason is because he understood Romans 6. That not only have you and I been completely justified from our sins, but we've been justified from sin itself. That even though we're in these bodies of corruption and still have sin dwelling in our flesh, as far as God is concerned, he sees us as having completely had that in the dust. And that he sees us complete in Jesus Christ every day of our lives. Now, if that's not a reason to get up in the morning, I don't know what is. But that's the gospel. See, the gospel is not something simply where we say a couple of principles to an unbeliever so that they believe in Christ. The gospel is the fullness of what God has accomplished in Christ for us. And so we need gospel every day. We need Jesus preached to us every day as believers. So don't just realize that that's true. And now, so I just want to challenge us all this morning. It's time to believe God's facts. If God says that we die to sin, then it's time for us to believe that. That's what I want to see you to see this morning as we look at what it has to say, the book of Romans chapter 6. Realize it's time to believe that. It's time to put away the lies. It's time to put away all those things that would creep into your heart and tell you that you're still in bondage to sin, and tell you that there's still a problem between you and God related to sin in any way. There is none. And if that's what the book of Romans chapter 6 says. But it's time to believe that fact. Because when you do, you will become bold like Paul. You will be like Romans 6 describes, that you know what? We're supposed to present ourselves to God as alive from the dead. And that's what will happen when you believe the facts about what happened to you because you're in union with Christ in his death. What happened to you because you're in union with Christ in his resurrection. And where you are now. You, my friends, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are completely heavenly. Heavenly. You're up there with him. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ. And you've been there since the day you believed in your Savior. You see? But do you see how it's sometimes, you say, well, gee, how come I didn't know that? Or, oh, well, gee, I don't feel like I've been, you know. I know. The reason is because there's a time to believe God's facts. And that's what will change how you see things. To believe it. To just stop everything else, all the naysaying, all the negativity, all the doubts, all the worries, all the fears, and just say, like Bob Newhart, ready? Stop it! And then stop it and clear the decks and say, no, I'm going to believe Romans 6:5, that I have become united with Christ in the likeness of his death, and I will certainly be united with Christ in the likeness of his resurrection. If you just took that one verse and realized that every day it's time to believe that, time to believe that, time to believe that, anything having to do with sin and death and worry and fear and anger, you say, yes, but that's the fact is I've become united with Christ in the likeness of his death. His death was for all of that. I don't have to be in bondage to that anymore. And when you say, now what is it? What does life have for me? You stop and you say to yourself, I am certainly in the likeness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does life have for him? That's a good question, isn't it? Everything, right? The Bible actually says in the book of Galatians that you may not realize it yet, but as a child of God, you are the owner of everything. Why? Because you're in Christ and he's the owner of everything. But that's what I mean. I mean, sometimes we just have to take a simple one verse in the Bible and stop and say, and now I'm going to use this. I'm going to set my mind on this. I'm going to make sure that whatever it is, because this is very comprehensive, I'm going to make sure that I use it and that I know it's true about me every day of my life. For if we have become united with him, verse 5, in the likeness of his death, and we have, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, is there anything wrong with the resurrection of Christ? Was it imperfect? Did it sort of just go halfway or anything like that? Absolutely not. It's like the most full, complete, wonderful thing that ever happened, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he was totally separated from anything else like death or sin or the law the moment he rose from that grave. And you're in him, and you have been planted together with him in the likeness of his resurrection. So guess what? Same thing is true about you. That stuff can't touch you anymore. Okay? But lies will make you think otherwise. And that's the whole thing here. The whole thing here is to gather together, listen to the word of God, whether it's one verse or 100, and realize that's me. This is true. I'm going to live like that. I'm not going to live like the papers tell me to live, or the media, or the tabloids, or that person that calls me on the phone all the time and has nothing but negativity to say to me. I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to live like this. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man... That's everything what's wrong with the human race, by the way. If you want to think about it, that's what it's talking about. Everything that's wrong with the human race was crucified with Christ. Now, do you believe that? That's the key. Because if you do, then everything that's wrong about you was crucified with Christ. And oh, by the way, everything that's wrong with all the other believers in your life was crucified with Christ. You see, when we're done applying it to us, of course, we need to apply it to our brothers and our sisters, and say, you know what? Sure, I don't particularly like that habit. I don't particularly like that behavior of somebody else, but I know this. They're a believer in Jesus Christ, and all of that about them, God put an end to. God made a statement about. God did something about. It was all crucified with Christ on the cross. And when you start thinking like that, your life will change. It will. Our old man, everything that's wrong about the human race was crucified with Christ in order that our body of sin, meaning that we still have these bodies, that's the thing that happens to every believer. It's when we get through Romans 3, 4, and 5, and I hope this one thing, that when we're done with that, we realize that we're justified from our sins, that we are not to have any guilt about our sins anymore, that God has taken care of them as far as the east is from the west. That's how far God has placed our sins from us and from him. All right, so that we understand that. And yet, let's say we have a great breakthrough about justification by faith concerning our sins. And we go to bed. This is going somewhere, so relax. And then we wake up the next day. Now, one of the first things that happens when we wake up the next day, and trust me on this, I've seen this happen over and over again. I wake up every day, like you so far. And what happens is that I'm greeted by my body. Yoo-hoo! What? Oh, yeah, all that stuff was great. Yeah, that Bible stuff was wonderful, but I don't feel good today. Or, remember, this lust is still there, you know? Or, you're about to get angry, aren't you? Well, how about that bad dream you had last night? What are you going to do with that? See, my body's still there. And it's a body of corruption. It's a body of flesh. It is a body that has sin indwelling in it. And if we're not open to what else Romans has to tell us, we're going to be in misery. Even though we know that all our sins have been taken care of, we're still stuck with this body. And it causes all kinds of trouble. And we say to ourselves, what about that? I wonder if God has done anything about that. It's a real good question. A lot of believers get in a lot of bondage because of this. All right, they get in a lot of bondage. They're perfectly okay with the past, but they're not so okay with the present in terms of the sin in their bodies. All right? So that's why we have to concentrate on Romans 6. We have to get this. We have to know that God has not only justified us from our sins, but he's justified us from sin itself in our bodies. He's saying, that is no issue for me anymore, God is saying. No issue for me. I've separated you from even that. Which is why Paul can say, you ever wonder why, those of you that read Romans 7, he says, you know, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Do you realize how freeing that is? How could he say that? Because he understood what Christ had accomplished for him beyond his sins, the bad things he's done, into the very fact that sin dwells in his body. Christ took care of that on the cross too. But what? This morning, it's time to believe God's facts. You know, I know a lot of people who can recite things up and down about the Bible. And they're still in bondage. I don't know how you can do that. If you really like, it's sort of like this, right? You know, I'm a sports fan. Fan short for fanatic, although I'm getting better. I love the Patriots. Boo. Wait a minute, you guys beat us. Why are you upset about that? You should be excited about the NFL. Oh, because there's week 2 and week 3 after. Oh, right. But so here's the deal, right? If I pick up a lousy newspaper by a lousy publisher who half of what he writes is lies and all kinds of garbage in it, and yet when I turn to the sports page on Monday and I look NFL scores and I see that score, I believe it. And it matters, you know, oh, my team did well, my team did poorly. Now, if we can do that with a lousy newspaper, how come we have so much trouble doing that with this? God's word has been around unchanged for 2,000 years. And people who have believed what it has to say have had their minds renewed and their hearts renewed. And they have the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness. And yes, even self-control when thinking about the NFL. Why? Because it's true. Because God wrote this. That's why. And yet, for some reason, we have a really hard time doing to this what we're willing to do with a newspaper. Isn't that a little weird? Am I the only one that thinks that's a little weird? No, okay, good. Good. Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man, everything that's wrong with the human race, was crucified with Christ in order that our body of sin might be done away with, put out of that business. Holy Spirit is there to put to death the deeds of the body. Good news. So that we would no longer be slaves to sin. And that's a fact. See the facts? Here's the facts. Your old man was crucified with Christ. Everything that's wrong about you, God dealt with at the cross. Not only the sins you commit, but the fact that there's sin in your body. Dealt with. Check. In order that our body of sin might be done away with. And God the Holy Spirit is inside you now, doing war against whatever it is that the sin in the body is trying to do to mess you up. God the Holy Spirit's on the job. Check. that we, you and I, as of this moment, and even before, are not slaves to sin. Check. It ought to be that simple. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ say this, though? That unless you become as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, certainly, I hope you understand that's true about our salvation. There was a day that we had to say, to say, you know what? All the other theories and stuff and who I am, I'm going to put that aside because I believe the truth that I'm a sinner and Christ died for sins and I sinned, so he died for me like a little child. And by the way, it continues. Every time you open up that book, you should come at it as a little child and say, this is good for me. My daddy says so. I'm believing it. You know? For he who has died, I love verse 7, we're going to get to it, is freed from sin. We're going to see that Greek word, but freed, it's going to blow your mind when you see it. I know you think, how can you say that about a language like Greek? Stay tuned. The decisive blow has been struck to the old man. Our body of sin, the flesh. Holy Spirit is working to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We're no longer slaves to sin. This morning what I want to do is wrap up something we've been looking at, which is about the old man. We've been looking at this old man. And we've been seeing there's three passages in the New Testament that speak of him. And this morning, I really just want to summarize that. So we look at it all on kind of like one photograph and say, now I see the whole picture. We know in Romans 6:6, the old man was crucified. You know that's true. Please turn to Ephesians 4:20 one more time. Ephesians 4:20. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. There's a second passage that looks at the old man. Everything that's wrong with the human race. Now, at the cross, God took care of it comprehensively once and for all. Okay? In Colossians and in Ephesians, and we've seen this, it turns to us now, and God knows that we still have this body of sin. And so there's something about the old man. Not the complete old man as he was crucified, but something about him that we still need to be at peace with. And it is his behavior and his thinking. It is his evil practices. That's the thing. That's the thing that we still need to say, okay, so what about the old man with respect to his manner of living do I need to know? And that's why we have what we have in Ephesians and Colossians. Okay, so it's important to see that all three of these things work together, these three passages. Romans 6:6. Ephesians 4:22, Colossians 3:9. Let's look at Ephesians together one more time. But you did not learn Christ in this way. By the way, that's the function, that's a big function of the church. To make sure that the children of God learn Christ. You did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. That in reference to, notice, in reference to something particular now, your former manner of life. All right? You have been taught to lay aside or put away the old man, which is being corrupted. What's being corrupted? That manner of life, in accordance with the lusts of deceit. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The old man was crucified, but the old man, in reference to a manner of life, is being corrupted. And we know that. What this really, all this is telling us, is that left alone, mankind in Adam gets worse and worse. I mean, if you read the Bible, all you have to see is Adam falling, children, Cain, Abel, Seth, and then you just go fast forward a few generations and look what happened to the human race. You get to chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, and that's right when Noah's going to come on the scene. You know, and God says, he looked on the earth and all flesh was corrupt. And like mankind was just going haywire. He had basically 8 people left on the planet that he could deal with. That's a pretty lousy picture of the human race right there. Then he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call out a people for myself. They're going to be the Jewish people. I'm going to give them every advantage. I'm going to give them the temple. I'm going to give them truth. I'm going to give them the law. I'm going to give them every possible way that they could, in and of themselves, get their act together. And you know, you get to the time of Jesus Christ, and you find out that the nation that was supposed to be welcoming their Messiah and ushering in this great kingdom instead turns around and totally rejects him and wants to see him crucified. If that's not a picture of the corruptness of man without Christ, I don't know what is. And we're seeing it now. Hello? If anybody at least, you know, peeked an eye open for 5 minutes in terms of what happened in the 20th century historically, you would see that mankind is not getting better. Oh, our iPhones are getting better. But I'm talking about mankind. Let me just rattle off a few things for you, okay? Let me rattle off World War I and what happened there. Let me rattle off World War II. Let me rattle off some names. Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini. Let me rattle off a few more things. How about the terrorists that we're dealing with today? How about the things we're seeing these wicked people do that we never thought we would see? How about that? What's that all about? Do you really buy the lie it's because of American foreign policy? Do you really believe that nonsense? No. Do you believe the lie, well, if they just had a better education? Let me tell you something. Do you realize that the terrorists that have done the most harm around the world have been the best educated? That they come from privileged families? Well, they're just so poor and downtrodden. My, you know what? No, they a lot of them came from privilege. A lot of them were able to come to the United States and study and then go back and corrupt people just like them and then come back and fly planes into the buildings. So no. Mankind without Christ is not getting better. Mankind without Christ is getting worse. All right? And all you have to do is read a newspaper. That's what he means. He means that that manner of life, life without Christ, is getting worse, being corrupted. All right, let's look at the third passage and final one that mentions the old man, and that's Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. See, the more we understand about this old man, the more we get, anytime we see Romans 6:6 and we hear those words, the old man was crucified with Christ. Applause for God. When we really understand who this old man, who he is. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside or put off the old man with its what? Evil practices. Okay? Really important to understand that. Romans is talking about the big picture about the old man. But Ephesians is talking about his manner of living. And Colossians is talking about his evil practices. And the thing about this is that because we're still in these bodies of corruption, we can still participate in his evil practices. Case in this, in both Ephesians and Colossians mention this, lying. I mean, come on. I know we're new creatures in Christ, yes. But nobody can stand here today, least of all me, and say, you know, believers don't lie. Are you kidding me? Of course they do. Of course they do. You know, we're still in these bodies of corruption. And we're going to be till the day we die. And sometimes we still fall into those bad habits. We just do. Now, does God have a plan for changing that? Of course he does. Are we different? Yes. Being renewed, will that change this? Yes. As we understand more and more and more about the love of God, will that make that the intensity that surrounds lying or cheating or stealing, will the intensity around that be overpowered with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit? Yes. But don't forget that that's still there. Don't forget that. So the thing that's still relevant about the old man for us is his manner of living, his corrupt practices. And so God says, look, here's how I have dealt and am dealing with even that. What did he do? He said, look, you've already put off the old man with its evil practices. And you already have put on the new man who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. I got to keep mentioning this because a lot of people miss the boat on this in Christianity today. A lot of people think Christianity is all about finding a place where you're comfortable and a place where they have lots of programs and a case where they got a great coffee maker and all that kind of stuff. Nothing wrong with any of that, okay? But that's not Christian churches. You see, it's so critical. You can't read the New Testament, okay, and put up an argument against this point. It's so critical that you have your mind renewed. It's so critical that you have to be renewed to what in verse 10? Self-help group? No, to a true knowledge. Knowledge. That the function of the church, first and foremost, is to give people knowledge about who they really are now. I'm not saying those other things will follow. But unfortunately, a lot of people want to put the cart before the horse. They want to look, perhaps, at a congregation that really is really popping on all cylinders. And what they see are the results, but they don't understand the source. And the source is having your mind renewed. The source is what we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, to learn Christ. That's the source of it, to be taught in him, to know the truth that sets you free, that your mind is being renewed, that you are being renewed to a true knowledge. That's the source. That's where it comes from. The results are loving one another and having all the things that are going to flower in a congregation that gets the source right. But unfortunately, a lot of people want to look at the results and copy them and forget about the source. Not going to work. And that accounts for a lot of frustration in Christianity today, by the way. No extra charge. So here we notice that the old man is mentioned with regard to evil practices. Crucified, yes. Manner of life, yes. Evil practices, yes. That's the whole picture of the old man. And we see that it's both behavior and attitude. Behavior and attitude. You see, that's where God is at work. You know that passage, he who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ Jesus? Guess what? He's at work with that stuff. In other words, changing your mind, renewing your mind, and putting to death the deeds of the body. That's what he's doing. That's what the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are at work doing with all of us. So we ended here on Wednesday night, and we just started taking a look at two Greek verbs. Because, you know, in Colossians 3:9 and in Ephesians 4:22, they both say lay aside. And you might think that that just means the same thing in both passages, but it doesn't. And sometimes that's why you have to go back to the Greek language, where the epistle was originally written in, and find out what's the Greek language say about that. Not for the purpose of mincing words or argument, but for really getting at the meaning. All right, so we did that, and we saw that here in Colossians 3:9, the word for lay aside here, laid aside, is different from the word, Greek word, in Ephesians 4:22, lay aside. That has to be significant, and it is. We saw that here in Colossians 3:9, okay, the Greek word for laid aside is apekduomai. It's kind of a big Greek word. I'll give you a moment to write that down. Apekduomai. So when it says that you laid aside the old man, that's apekduomai. It means to divest wholly. All right. I don't know why I put despoil on there, because I don't even know what that means myself. But that was the whole definition of the first guy. But the key to it, all right, the key to apek, sounds like an appendix, but apek duomai, the key to it is the concrete. A lot of times we learn the concrete and then we understand the meaning, right? To take off or strip off clothing. That's the idea of this verb. So you hear, and what is he saying? If you look at Colossians 9, he says, do not lie to one another because you laid aside, apekduomai. You took off like you were taking clothing off. All right, that's the meaning of it, the sense of it anyway. What? The old man. So the sense in which we took off the old man, that he was our clothing and we took him off. In that, I just kind of just think about that for a minute, okay? It also means this, to wholly put off from oneself. Now, of course, here in Colossians 3:9, it says this has already happened. You've already completely put off from yourself. You've already completely been separated from the old man. But isn't that what we learned in Romans 6, right? He's been crucified with Christ. God put him off. And Colossians is just echoing that, saying even with regard to his evil practices, the decisive blow is the cross. He's already been put off from you. He's been separated from you on the basis of the cross of Christ. That's power. That's freedom. That's being released from bondage according to this old man's practices and his way of life. You see, there's too many people that think, well, shucks, this is just the way I am. I got that old nature and it's going to do its thing and there's nothing I can do about it. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God's already done something about it, that he's put that off you, that he's separated that from you. And that makes, doesn't that make a difference in how you live, those two pictures? One, oh, well, it's just here, and I'm, oh me, oh my, I'm going to be like Paul when he's trying to live under the law and say, I'm a wretched man, let's go to the bar, right? Nothing I can do about it. Or, no, that's true, there's nothing I can do about it, but God has done something about it. You have been separated from your old man. You have. You have, and that means that you have, there's space there now where the Holy Spirit's at work and where you can now live a new life because God has put him off you. You know, it's almost like you had a monkey on your back. You ever hear that expression? Well, the monkey's off your back. That's the good news of the cross of Jesus Christ. All right, that's Colossians 3:9. That's epekdouomai. He's put off completely this from ourselves. And then we get to Ephesians 4:22, where it says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old man. And here it's a little different. Colossians is saying something that's already happened. Ephesians is saying something that is a part of us now, our lives now. What is it? Well, it's another Greek word. It's a different one. It's apotithemi. You know, apotithemi is not the same as apekduomai. As a matter of fact, apotithemi is just as hard to pronounce, so it has that in common. But it's different. Apotithemi, apekduomai. Okay, the first one in Colossians 3:9 that has already happened means to be put off, like you take clothes off. This one means to put away. Can you see the difference between having something put off you and having something put away? So that you're in a fight with a bully, and the bully jumped on your back and is pounding you, and then all of a sudden the cross of Jesus Christ comes, and all of a sudden, whoosh, the bully's been put off you. All right? But then, okay, the cross of Jesus Christ says, and here's the thing, here's where you step into this. By you believing the truth about you at the cross, not only is he put off you, he's put away. Can you see how that's another thing? You think about clothes, all right? You have a dirty rags on, right? And you say, I'm going to apekduomai these. You get some weird looks if you said this in the locker room, guys, but whatever. And you're going to take the dirty rags off you. They're off you. They're not part of your body anymore, okay? But then you get to Ephesians 4:22, and then you realize that by faith, you can do something else to those dirty rags. Put them away. Put them away. Put them in the closet that's in the basement that you're never going to look at again. Can you see how that's a further thing? There's put off and there's put away. And it's the old man has been put off by the cross of Christ. And by our believing that, he's put away in our lives. Meaning that his manner of life is no longer ours. Can you see all of that? What happened 2,000 years ago? How it's relevant for us in two ways. In Colossians 3:9, we have to know that he's been put off us. And then we have to realize that we step into it by faith. He's put away. It's good news. It's good news. It's the opposite of what a lot of people think. That somehow, you know, I'm just going to be in this terrible state till I die, but a happy day when I die. No, he's already been put off you. And by believing the truth of what happened at the cross, he can be put away from you. All right? Just wanted to make sure you saw those Greek words. So it means to put out of the way. It means to cease what one is accustomed to doing. You don't have to continue in those bad habits. You don't have to continue to have that lousy relationship because every time you say the wrong thing or you do the wrong thing or you get angry, you let their flesh get the better of your flesh. And don't think of it any other way. And that would be horrible if you still identified with your flesh. But the truth that sets us free of Romans 6 is you are no longer identified with your flesh. That's not you. You are a new creature in Christ. All things are new. You are raised up in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. And how about once in a while go up there? This is what I mean by time to believe the facts. How about once in a while you just get out of this, I know what it's like. I do it too. You're in this vicious circle. Things that aren't working out and you don't like what you're thinking and you're saying and you don't like the other person and there's a big tendency, well, I just blame him because he's worse and all of a sudden you're in this mess. How about just saying, time out? How about saying, I'm a new creature in Christ? And as a matter of fact, that means that I have already been raised up in heavenly places with Christ. I'm going there. You guys can continue to do all that fleshy stuff. Yeah, you're great. But I'm going up to heaven right now. And I'm going to look at what this looks like from the point of view of Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And he's saying, I've already separated you from that. I've already died. When I died on that cross, the old man died with me. That's how I see that situation, which means you don't have to stay in the muck, in the mire, in the despair, in the guilt, in the anger, in the fear. You don't. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for all of that, and he rose from the dead. And that's who he is now, and that's who you are now. But we have to what? Start believing the facts. That's what we have to do. And I got to tell you, practically speaking, I got to tell you, that means we have to be looking at the facts. You have to be looking at them. I mean, no one would ever doubt that I'm a Patriots fan, but if I don't look at anything about that team for 5 years, I'm certainly not going to be behaving like a Patriots fan. You know, I'm still talking about Tom Brady and the Super Bowl. You Dolphins fans, you know that. You still talk about 1973, you know, I mean, come on. But, you know, you have to kind of keep looking, right? I wonder who the quarterback is, right? Well, we should be doing the same thing about the Word of God. I wonder what I might have forgotten about Colossians 3. I wonder. I know there's a word there that's going to set me free today. I wonder what it is. You know, let's go find out. Let's go find out. And when we do it, let's cling to it. Let's make that the most real thing about our day. The fact that we're new creatures in Christ and that we're up there with him. How about it? So the old man is something that we have already put off. I'm going to retrain all of us this way. Retrain our thinking. The old man is someone you've already put off because of the cross. And we are called to put him away by believing what happened at the cross. It's that simple. It's that simple. Okay? You've been separated from the old man. And now you've been taught to give up the things of the old man. His lifestyle. His evil practices. To, as it were, losing our taste for anything that's not Christ. You know? The old man was crucified. We have put him off. And now we're taught to put him away. Please turn to Romans 8:12. Romans 8:12. Go for a few more minutes this morning. By believing the truth of what happened to the old man at the cross, it is like we put him in a box, like an old set of clothing that we don't need anymore. And you can do this. That's what the good news here is. Because, you know, it's true. You know, the body of sin, we can't do that too. I want to be clear about this. This is not saying that somehow we can put our flesh in a box and it goes away. Okay? Nope. Nope, when you wake up tomorrow morning after a restful night's sleep, hopefully, flesh is still going to be there. It's going to be in you. That's not what this is saying. See, that's why you need faith. If that were true, where does faith come in? If the idea is that God has already destroyed the flesh or there's no sin in you, what do you need to believe? You're in reality that. No, the reality is that it's still in your body. And that's where the power of faith and the power of what God can do in this fallen world really shines through you. Even in these bodies of sin, you can believe something that happened 2,000 years ago is true about you right now, and it has done the deed to the old man, and it'll change how you live. And believe me, that is a great glory to God. It's a great glory to God. Okay, so it's not that we put away the body of sin. We don't. The body of sin remains with us. But here's the good news. It will sit there idle. You know how there's somebody that's been really bugging you and doing all kinds of stuff, and all of a sudden some kind of intervening power comes in. Maybe it's the police. I don't know. Maybe you're a kid and it's your parents. And all of a sudden what they were doing before to you, they can't do anymore. They just have to sit there idle. That's the idea. That's the idea about the flesh. That's what God the Holy Spirit is doing. He's like, no flesh, you can't do the things you want to do. You can't do the things you used to do. This is a believer in Christ. This is somebody who's been raised up in heavenly places. This is somebody who's in Christ this morning. And I, the Holy Spirit, am here to thwart you. Oh, yeah, once in a while, they're going to kind of, you know, in their thinking or whatever they're going to do, they're going to kind of go around me and try to, you know, do stuff with you. But believe me, I'm on the job, flesh. You may not do the things that you wish. That's what God did. So they will sit there idle when the Holy Spirit, with our cooperation, puts to death the deeds of the flesh. That's isn't that clear language? Putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Do you get that? So how? Let's read it. Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And by the way, I don't want to get too much. We're going to study this when we get to chapter 8. But let me just say this much. This is a very interesting Greek construction, okay? Which is basically saying that this is you if you're a believer in Christ. By the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body and you will live. What does it mean? It means that the flesh is still there. It wants to do all the stuff it did before. You might even argue that it wants to do it even more badly because it realizes, whoa, wait a minute, you know? The other side got in here and they got a foothold. And boy, if I can get a hold of this body now, I can really feel like I accomplished something because this is a believer in Christ. So, you know, don't dismiss the flesh. It's an enemy. But God, the Holy Spirit, is on the scene doing what? Putting to death the deeds of the body. That's freedom. It's tremendous freedom. You know, it means you no longer have to look at your bad habit and think it's all up to you to change it. It's not. It's not up to you to change it. It's up to the Holy Spirit to change it with your cooperation. That's a big difference. That's a huge difference. And it's true. The Holy Spirit is the one who is putting to death the deeds of the flesh. What do? You know what we really do? We just don't go around the back of the Spirit and let sin reign in our bodies anyway. You know, that's what Romans 6 is all about. We don't present the members of our body to sin, right? So it's kind of like saying, wait a minute, let me get this straight. I have an enemy. It's called sin. It's in my body. And I know that it's done damage. And I know that the Holy Spirit's on the scene to do battle against it. But it's just a weird thing. Every once in a while, something gets the better of us, and we want to go and hang out with the flesh again. It's a weird thing about being human, you know? Okay, but what does the Bible say? It says, don't do that. Don't present the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. In other words, don't go out of your way to say, hey, I'm going to give my tongue to gossip again. You know? That's really not productive. Don't go out of your way to say, I'm going to go in a place, you know, I know that I have this situation where I have this terrible habit. I have a strong lust in my flesh. It has to do with, well, you fill in the blank, you know. You're probably saying, oh, the first one he says is probably his weakness. Let's listen. Wait a minute. But you know, we all have them. Food, sex, violence, ambition, greed, you know, fill in the blank, right? But you know what it is. I know what it is, right? And the truth is, if we're just, you know, if we're just adults here, we know that we can still kind of tilt the scales the wrong way by putting ourselves in a place where that draw, whatever it is, let's say that it's sex, right? And you go to a strip club 5 days a week, and you're saying to yourself, "Well, I can't believe it. You know, I read that great stuff about the Holy Spirit putting to death the deeds of the body, but son of a gun, the third day I was in the strip club, you should have seen the things I did. You know, duh." Duh, you know? No. We can do that. We can change that. We can set our mind on the right things. Remember, we're not just sitting here like a dummy, literally and figuratively, in the car, you know? Some people have that idea, which is the other extreme, you know? I'm just sitting here in the dummy, and God's doing it all. I can do what I want, go where I want, say what I want, think what I want. No, that's not it either. You know, it's balance in some of these things. Understand that we can still trip things up for ourselves if we present the members of our body to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness. So don't do that. You know, but even that, you should realize that that is not the law anymore. It is not as if God is saying, holding the law over you and saying, when you do that, I'm going to condemn you and punish you. What he is saying is get smart about what's really going on in your body and in your life. Just get smart about that. I'm your father. I love you, he's saying, and I'm just telling you, in grace, that that is a stupid thing to do. I think you can say stupid and still be gracious. I say it to my kids all the time. That's what he's saying. He's saying part of the cooperation with the Spirit is taking the commands of the New Testament as loving commands from a father and being like a little child. It's like, I don't understand all. A lot of people want to get into an advanced theological discussion about what's God and what's man. I don't want to do that anymore. You know what I want to do? I want to read about all the good things that God has done for me in Christ. And I want to trust him 180%. And then I also want to be like a little child. And when he says something, I'm going to be obedient to it. That's the whole package. And don't try to figure it out. All right? You know why? Because when you're trying to figure it out, you know what's happening? You know what you're back into? You're back into your brain. Oh, and by the way, the brain is part of the body. And oh, by the way, the body is full of sin. Oh, and by the way, that means the brain is full of sin too. Sorry to break it to you. That's why we have the new mind. We have the mind of Christ. But you see, the mind of Christ thinks nothing but the Word of God. He doesn't try to figure it out. He just thinks and believes and lives according to the Word of God. When in Matthew chapter 4, when he was just about to begin his public ministry and he was full with the Spirit, and the Spirit led Jesus, the human part of him, the humanity of Jesus, out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Do you think, now what could he have done if he was trying to figure it out? You know? Boy, I don't know. I didn't read this in the Old Testament about the Messiah. And wait a minute, what's happening now? Oh, Satan's on the scene? Wait a minute, I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm the Son of God. Satan should stay away. You know, if he started to figure it all out, he would have been in poor shape to do what he did, which is what? It is written. Even Jesus had to do that. Even Jesus had to approach the Word of God like a little child. So do we. But make no mistake, the God, the Holy Spirit, is on the scene putting to death the deeds of the body so that you and I may truly live. That's what he wants. All right, let's just wrap this up. I just want to make sure you understand that we can put away the deeds of the flesh by the power of the Spirit. And I want to just make one more point here, and that's this. We've seen three passages about the old man. Romans 6:6 and Colossians 3:9 state the fact. What is to be believed? What is to be believed is that the old man was crucified on the cross and that we have put him off. When we do that, then we're living in Ephesians 4:22, the appeal to our faith. That's when he gets put away. That's when he gets off the radar of our lives. When we realize the truth, the facts of Romans 6:6 and Colossians 3:9 and believe them, he gets put away. Pretty simple, right? Hear good news and believe it. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that how this whole journey started? We heard good news that while I'm a sinner, Christ died for my sins, and we believe that. We heard good news and believed it. Well, guess what? Today, that body of sin that's still so troublesome to us at times, it's time to do the same thing. Just believe the facts that the old man was crucified. He has been put off. And by the very fact that we believe that and count it to be true about us, in that is how he gets put away. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to wrap up this series on the old man and to see how it begins at the cross, this story, and what really has happened to him. And then it continues to our lives where we understand what it means for us, how it's very relevant because we all have these struggles, and how we have to just believe the facts. And in so doing, that is how he gets put away, put on the sidelines, put out of business for our own individual manner of living. And we thank you for this truth that sets us free, Father. And we ask you now to please bless us all. Bless us all by changing our hearts. Bless us all by giving us opportunities to put into practice these things. Most of all, Father, Please, please have the Holy Spirit give us the enablement and the encouragement and the wisdom to keep turning to the Bible to see the facts that set us free. We ask this in Christ's name by the power of the Spirit. Amen. And now I'd like to invite forward Dane Verhoeven to make a few remarks as we end our service this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor. You know what the great thing about the football season is this year? That Miami played New England in the first game and we beat them. So the rest of the season, whatever happens. As long as we beat them, we play them again in New England. Oh, yeah, one more fact, too. Because of that loss, in New England, even if they win the Super Bowl, they won't beat the undefeated season of Miami again. It's 72.
What year was that?
72, not 73.
Oh, 72.
Anyway, as you can tell, Pastor never knows what I'm going to speak here, and I thank him for that trust, and I thank God for the privilege to speak at the pulpit. So he was speaking about how the body is a big problem for us. Well, that goes double for our heads. They can be one of our biggest stumbling blocks and obstacles in our Christian life. All too often, we let our sins get in our heads, and we think and see them over and over again. This keeps us from moving forward in the plan that God has for us. And that's just what Satan wants us to do. He wants to steal the peace from you that God says is yours by putting doubts in your mind. So how do we keep our sins out of our minds? Well, instead of thinking about our sin nature and the fruit or deeds of the flesh, which are anger, jealousy, drunkenness, immorality, impurity, hatred, and so on, do as Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, and walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Instead, look at things like the fruit of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. And ask yourself this: how loving and kind and gentle and patient am I being? And how much self-control do I have? So don't measure yourself by your sin nature. Measure yourself by the fruit of the Spirit. That's where you'll find peace and joy, not only in your mind, but in your life. As we keep reading God's word and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in his ways that are pleasing to him, he will produce in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to make changes God wants to make in our lives. God's working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Here's something good for your mind to take with you this morning. In John 15:9, Jesus tells us, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Now, if you are blessed through this ministry with its teachings, we ask that you please give to the offering with a thankful and grateful heart to help support our church, which can be done by using the offering box located in the back. Let us pray for the offering. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word that helps us learn more about you, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us in your ways and who helps us find peace and joy in our minds. And as we give to the offering, we thank you for your love and ask you to please bless these gifts in the giver's lives and to use this offering for your will and glory alone. We pray these things in Jesus' glorious name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, let's just close in prayer and we'll end our service tonight. Father, we just want to thank you that you give us all good things. We thank you that you gave us Jesus, We thank you that you've given us your Spirit. We thank you that you've given us your Word and one another. And we thank you that you've given us these opportunities to walk by means of the Spirit. And we just ask this morning, Father, as we leave today, please help us to fix our minds on your Son. Help us to realize that whatever problem we're facing, he's the solution. And just as a little child, believe that and live that way. We ask it in Christ's name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're dismissed. Enjoy this day.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my trouble.